This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, it's week 3 of the NFL, and the Detroit Lions plays the Arizona Cardinals. On today's episode, we're going to break down the Arizona Cardinals rosters on offense and defense. Main question is, can the Detroit Lions come out with the win? Find out on episode 127 of the Pride Podcast.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast on the Blue Wire Network, episode 127. How are my boys doing today, Pierre and Malcolm? I am your host, Tyler.
Woo!
Pretty good. Weather's actually kind of nice. I'm enjoying, like, this little chilly weather. Pretty good.
Chilly. 80 degrees, man.
No, like, you know, like, that little breeze that we get, like, kind of like that fall vibe?
I know what you mean. I like it. It's been nice. It's weird because the first week of fall has been nicer than the last week of summer. Like, last week of summer was awful. It was brutal. Yeah. But the first week of fall, it's treated us very nicely. Not the Lions, but the weather outside has treated us very nicely to almost forget about the Lions, which is nice. So we're here in this episode going to be breaking down the Arizona Cardinals for this week 3 matchup. And I know a lot of people listening to this episode are probably like, Detroit Lions have zero chance on this. And you guys told me this straight up because I put on Twitter, I went as bold in saying the Lions are going to win this game, book it, and thank me later. And I got absolutely roasted for this. Like, bad. I got, like, it was one of my most interacted tweets. And when I get an interacted tweet, it's like usually positive and stuff like that. No, this was not positive one bit.
No, it wasn't.
I got bashed. I got called a clown a lot. And long story short, I guess I'm a clown. Okay. We're here breaking down the Arizona Cardinals. Before we do that, if you guys could take the opportunity and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, it's always appreciated. And let's get right into this Arizona Cardinals. Injury report, and then we'll talk about the Detroit Lions injury report. We'll start off with Malcolm. You'll want to go ahead and read off the Arizona Cardinals injury report.
Yes, I can. All right. So with the Arizona Cardinals injury report, we have Thursday's report. So their report is really short. We have two players who did not participate in practice. Mason Cole has a hamstring injury. He did not participate. And Christian Kirk, he has a groin injury, and he also did not participate in practice. Also, Jordan Phillips, he was limited today with an ankle injury. The other guys, they're full. Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, they both full participants. Brian Murphy and Buda Baker, both full participants. I didn't even really want to name them because, I mean, they're full. They're going to play. They're good to go.
Probably.
All right. There we go. Pierre, you want to go ahead off and read off the Detroit Lions report, which I got a little sneak peek of. It's a lot more positive.
It is positive. Hunter Bryant, he practiced on Wednesday but didn't practice today, so it looks like he might need another week. Kenny Galladay, limited, both Wednesday and Thursday. CJ Moore wasn't listed yesterday. On Wednesday, he was listed today with a calf injury, limited, so might be hard for him to play. Desmond Trufant returned to practice on Thursday with a limited. His status is kind of still up in the air. Big V has been limited all week with a foot, and Nick Williams has been limited with a shoulder. And then Kenny Galladay, a lot of you guys have been like telling us, Kenny Galladay. He's been limited both days, and then the reports from NFL Network are he's expected to play, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we should know more about that on Saturday. Obviously, the podcast will already be released by then, so like I said, does really no use. But this is why you follow us on Instagram, because me and Pierre update you guys on that type of stuff. So
yes,
Pierre, plug your Instagram, and I'll plug mine after.
All right, my Instagram is at Detroit Lions fan page, so you guys can follow me there. And then on Twitter is at DLFPTweets.
And if Pierre's sleeping in and I post before him, I'm at @LionsNation_. But I don't know, we usually are pretty good on that stuff. So stay tuned for that. If you know, something changes or whatever. So that's the injury report. Let's get right into this Arizona Cardinals offense and how they match up against up this Detroit Lions defense. This sounds like it's going to be a little disgusting, but go ahead, Pierre.
All right. Kyler Murray, dual threat quarterback. This is what I have in my notes. Dangerous, explosive, needs a spy. All right. So 516 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, but this is where he's dangerous. 21 attempts, 158 yards, averaging 7.5 yards a carry and 3 touchdowns rushing. This guy, when he moves, he's so explosive. He avoids defenders real well. He's like small. He kind of like, he's hard to tackle because he's so like tiny and quick and fast. I mean, he's going to be dangerous, bro. Kenyon Drake, another guy that we liked him last year. 4.1 yards per carry. He has a touchdown. He's backed up by Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds, mainly a receiver. He has 4.39 speed, so that's something to look out for. At wide receiver, they're dangerous. They got DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Keyshawn Johnson, and Andy Isabella and Trent Sherfield. Hopkins, obviously, is one of the best wide receivers. Larry Fitzgerald is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Andy Isabella is a speedster. Johnson's more of a possession guy. At tight end, they got Dan Arnold, Daryl Daniels, and Jordan Thomas. Dan Arnold and Daryl Daniels are mostly blockers. Jordan Thomas doesn't see the field that much. Then we'll go to their O-line. Left tackle is DJ Humphrey. 6 pressures allowed, 1 hit. Justin Pugh, great pass blocker. Only 1 pressure allowed. He has 2 penalties. Their backup center, Lamont Gaylord, is it, I think?
He's a great pass blocker. Yep.
Yeah, great pass blocker. 2 pressures allowed, only 2 penalties. Their right guard, J.R. Sweezy, that's kind of where their weakling is. 5 pressures allowed, 1 penalty. He's not a good run blocker. The right tackle, actually, I mean, this is a guy who, like, I think they signed, like, off the street before the year started because their right tackle, I think, opted out of the year. I could be wrong on that. But it's Calvin Beecham. He's solid in both pass and run. 5 pressures allowed, 1 penalty. So that's their offense. It's really explosive. They got, like, guys that could hurt you in every level except maybe tight end. But at wide receiver, they'll hurt you. At running back, at quarterback, they're pretty stacked, bro.
Yeah, they are, man. This is a matchup where it's almost kind of like last week, you could say. It's, you got to kind of pick your poison, and that's not good because you want to stop the passing game, then the running game could come a factor with Kenyon Drake, and he's not a joke of a running back. If you want to stop the running game and focus on the running game, which the Lions have shown they can't do so far in the first 2 weeks, then you're dealing with guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and that's very difficult. Christian Kirk not being in there is huge, but
right.
DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald aren't scrubs at all. So it's almost kind of pick your poison. What do you think that you can limit the Cardinals more, I guess, because you're not going to stop the Cardinals. That's not going to happen. All you could hope is you could contain them because you're not going to stop them. There's just too many weapons.
This is a tough offense. They have tons of weapons, and our defense has not been playing the way that they're supposed to play. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough game. I mean, the only thing I can see the Lions possibly trying to do in this case, I mean, and I don't know how they're going to do it because they haven't shown that they can do it all year, is stopping the run. I think if they stop the run, keep Kyler in the pocket, and force him to be a passer, I think that would be our best weapon, you know, trying to contain this offense.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, man. Because if you do that, which I agree, I think that might be the best scenario. But like, I feel like even if you stop the run, then you're focusing on the passing game, and this pass rush shown that they can't get to the quarterback this year on subpar offensive lines like the Chicago Bears. And this, I think, considers like as a subpar offensive line as well. It's not bad. It's not good, but it's average. So you stop the running game, let's say hypothetically, then you're dealing with DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald, and that's never easy as well. So
right.
But I agree with you. I think stopping the run is key. It's more important. But even if you do that, it's going to be still hard to stop this offense with Kyler Murray's arm, because Kyler Murray's arm is not a joke. I know he's known for being a runner, and you know, he's got an arm. He's got an arm, and he's got a top 3 receiver on his team, arguably the best receiver in the NFL right now, DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I'm looking at when I'm saying that, because passing for Kyler Murray, he's not the greatest passer. I mean, he's doing good. He has 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but he can make some mistakes.
He could.
And
still young.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I'd rather him in the pocket, making him make throws, Then him getting outside the pocket, extending plays, and that's when all hell could break loose. He could take off. He could extend plays, make a big play down the field. They can't allow that. They can't have him rolling around in the back and extending plays. They got to keep him in the pocket, stop the run, and force him to become a passer and just let him do what he has to do. I mean, it's tough. There's no right answer this one.
Yeah. I mean, I personally think Detroit should... They have to contain the edges, maybe put a spine up, but also maybe a little less man, maybe more zone. I say that because these guys, they'll kill our secondary, Hopkins and Fitzgerald, and then you got Isabella, who I believe ran a 4.27 or something like that.
Yeah, fast as hell.
Yeah, so you don't want to keep these guys on an island. It's just not good, especially with who's going to be on Hopkins, you know? Like, even if it's Trufant, I think it's a mismatch. Whoever's on Hopkins is a mismatch already. And Larry Fitzgerald, we already know he plays mostly in the slot. It's going to be Daryl Roberts. That's another mismatch working against Detroit. Yeah. Then the other guys, I mean, you got like Okuda and then Amani. Amani has trouble with the quicker guys. Okuda is still learning. So it's hard to play, man. You maybe got to play some zone. Personally, I play more zone. Remember 2 years ago versus the Rams, McVay said they confused. That's why the Lions defense started well against them. McVay said they confused them, thought they played man, but they went with a lot of zone.
Mm-hmm.
I could see maybe Detroit doing that, but the thing is, when you play zone, you got to be able to contain the quarterback.
Yeah, and Kyler Murray could just run. Kyler Murray could just run.
You got to like have a spy. You got to like put some rules in, like some defensive rules for them. And then also, we talked about the defenses they faced. They faced Washington and Niners. They have a really great D-line. And Kyler only was sacked 5 times. So that's
very impressive.
That's impressive. That's more on him, I think, than his O-line, but it's still impressive.
Yeah, and you're like mentioning guys like Nick Bosa, Chase Young, De'Aaron Payne. Who else is playing? Javon Kinlaw. Armstead. Yeah, Eric Armstead. That's what I was thinking of. I couldn't think of his name. But yeah, I mean, there's so many. Like, we're mentioning some like very good players, and
yeah.
Detroit doesn't have those players. Let's be straight.
They only have one of them. He's always double teamed. Trey Flowers.
Nah, we don't have those players.
I mean, not like that, but your best guy is Trey Flowers, but he's doubled a lot.
Yeah, you can't compare Trey Flowers and
Nick Bosa. No, you can't.
Absolutely not. But I will say this, guys. If the Cardinals had any other quarterback, you're looking at a team that would probably give up like at least 8 sacks.
Probably.
At least.
Possible. Yeah, their O-line, I mean, we talked about it. They're decent.
So far.
Yeah, they're not amazing. The thing is that Kyler Murray he's able to run past these guys. It's hard for them to sack. It's hard for them to sack him because they could get there. They'll beat the tackle. They'll beat the guard, and they'll get there. But by the time they get in front of Kyler Murray, he's gone. Like, I call him Speedy Gonzalez. Like, he's just pew. Like, he's there 1 minute, then he's gone the next. That's how it is. I'm telling you. He has a burst. It's quick, and just like Patricia said in the presser, it's like a kick returner kind of burst. It's not common at the quarterback position because there's some guys who are long, some guys who are just fast. But to be quick like that, to just be be there 1 second and gone the next, it's not really common. So
Kyler Murray's special, man.
He is.
And the scary part is I don't think he figured it out yet. But once he does, man, he's gonna be a very scary quarterback. He's just got to stay healthy. That's his thing. Stay healthy, and if he figures it out, man, yikes.
I mean, he gives you Russell Wilson vibes. I mean, he's got a good arm. He could run around the pocket like Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, like, this guy is a freaking beast. Yeah,
exactly, like Sonic the Hedgehog. We're gonna see a lot of coins. Sonic the Hedgehog. We're gonna be the dudes that's gonna be losing all our coins, dog. Watch.
It's gonna be a long day. It's gonna be a long day trying to contain him. We'll see what they do. You wanna get into the defense?
Yeah, let's take a quick commercial break and then we'll get into this Arizona Cardinals defense and how the Detroit Lions offense matches up with them. But we'll be right back, guys.
Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether there are corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders, call us by our names, always giving back, making a difference, and going the extra mile to support us and our community. Right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make sure the choice is to shop at a local business. And look for the contactless symbol to tap and pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partners of the NFL. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides you powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely results in hire, with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed's going to give you the important hire you need. Just like they have over the 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best available offer anywhere. Go right now. Go to Indeed.com/BlueWire.
Term and condition apply. Valid offer through September 30th.
All right, guys, we are back to break down the Arizona Cardinals defense against this Detroit Lions offense. I don't know if we've mentioned this, but this Arizona Cardinals team is 2-0, so they are a very impressive team. So,
right.
Pierre, the light's yours, man. Who's on this Arizona Cardinals defense?
All right, they're start with their D-line. They got Zach Allen, 3 pressures and a sack.
Hey, pause. You know where Zach Allen comes from?
That's your boy.
No, not even that, but do you know who coached him?
I'm drawing a blank. I remembered him, bro. I remember
Mr. Baloney, Paul Pascalone.
Oh, yeah, right. There you go.
Shit.
That was his defensive line coach.
Boston College, right?
Yeah, Boston College defensive line coach.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Baloney. All right,
their other starter, nose tackle is Corey Peters. Really good run defender. He has a sack. And then their other guy is Jordan Phillips. Good pass rusher. Not good against the run. We'll get into that more later. He has a sack as well. Those guys are backed up by Leaky Fotu
out of Utah,
Chard Lawrence out of LSU, and Angelo Blackson. I don't think Blackson has played. I could be wrong, though. Their edge guys, though, their edge is kind of scary. I mean, Chandler Jones, if you go look at his stats from the past, like, decade, he's probably one of the best edge rushers in the league. He has 6 pressures and a sack this year. For whatever reason this year, he hasn't stopped the run that well. They also got Devon Kennard. He has 5 pressures, and then Hassan Reddick. They move Hassan Reddick inside. He plays inside sometimes in their nickel packages. He has 3 pressures and a sack. Their linebackers, Jordan Hicks and Devondre Campbell, both solid. Campbell actually shuts down tight ends. He's like their tight end guy.
I was watching that the football team game, yeah. And he did a very good job. I'll say this, though. The game I watched, the tight end starting for the football team was Logan Thomas, and Logan Thomas is not like star caliber tight end. I mean, we had him last year. You guys know Logan Thomas. Solid tight end, but like nowhere near a guy like TJ Hockenson, you know?
Absolutely not. Their backup linebackers, those guys are backed up by Tanner Vallejo and Isaiah Simmons. Simmons has struggled. He's only played 25 snaps, so they're easing him in slowly. A lot of fans want him. He struggled this year. Their corners are actually pretty good. Patrick Peterson, he's an elite corner. This year, he's been a little off. Byron Murphy, I mean, he plays in the nickel when they go 3, and he plays outside when they go 2. And their other guy is Drake Kirkpatrick. This guy has struggled a little. Then their safeties, they're pretty good. Buda Baker, I mean, he's I think, the highest-paid safety in the league right now or something like that. He's up there.
He's up there, yeah. He got paid this offseason.
He's a good safety.
Yeah, he deserves it.
He deserved it.
Oh, absolutely. Chris Banjo, is it? Or Banho? I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's a solid safety. And, yeah, those guys are backed up by Deontay Thompson and Chuck Washington, our guy, Chuck. Those guys both each have played 2 snaps. So
those are both your guys. Deontay Thompson was your boy, too. Mm-hmm. I think this is just because we play the Cardinals so often. Malcolm, this might be some difficult editing, but can we bring a flashback, please?
Oh, shit. God damn it. All right, I'll do it.
Deontay Thompson, too, man. That kid is special. I'd take him at RP, too.
Okay, I want to hop onto that, though. Why
let me say something. Let me say something. Robert Quinn is getting up to age, right? Tavon Wilson is 29. You got Diggs locked up. You got Tracy Walker locked up. Adden Thompson. And, man, you have a heck of a trio of safeties right there.
Yeah, but why are you going to draft a safety in the first round? You got
Adden Thompson, who they select in the supplemental draft.
To be fair, though.
Why you keep doing this to my boy, man?
To be fair, though, I did say later in the year that, like, never mind, I was wrong on him. Like, when I watched him more.
We got to do this every time we play the Cardinals. I just got to bring it every time.
I mean, you guys could tease me. It's fine.
That's messed up,
Tyler. So you were talking about tight end, right? Against the George Kittle had only 4 receptions and 44 yards on 5 targets. So they also did a good job against Kittle.
He got hurt during that game.
He got hurt during that game. Okay, so.
But Jordan Reed didn't do much anything either, so.
Yeah, no, he was targeted twice and two receptions for 12 yards. We'll see. I forgot that the Niners had Jordan Reed. Wow.
Yeah.
That was random. We're getting off topic here. But overall, their defense is pretty good. You saw something on tape you guys wanted to say. Go ahead. The run.
Yeah, something I saw on tape when I was watching the football team. I can't even get used to that. When I was watching Washington versus Arizona, something I noticed that Washington attacked a lot, though, was the run game, and that's Jordan Phillips' gap. And Jordan Phillips is a good pass rusher. And when they got him from Buffalo, he's a guy I actually liked coming out of college. I thought he's an intriguing prospect. I still think he's a good player.
He is.
But if it's first or second down and – you know, you got to get any of those running backs. Honestly, Detroit has. I'm attacking him. I'm attacking that gap right away, especially with Frank Ragnow. I'm attacking that gap right away, and I think you can get some big runs. Guys like J.D. McKissic, guys like Antonio Gibson, the rookie out of Memphis, they had some good game. They had a good game against Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips has really struggled in the run game. Something I would really target. On the other hand, Corey Peters has been really good in the run game, so that's not a gap I'm not trying to target. But if it's first or second down, and he's in the field, I'm attacking that. But Jordan Phillips is a guy you'll mainly see on third downs, you know, just because his pass rushing skills are there. But if he is there on first, second down, which he will be occasionally, you got to attack that most definitely.
Yeah. And then another thing is the way you beat this team is controlling the clock. We said that last week. They started that game plan, and then it all just went to shit. The way you beat this team is controlling the clock. You just have to run the ball at them. And Arizona is 15th against the run. They're allowing 120 yards a game. So they're average. Detroit is 32nd or 30th, something like that. But, yeah, so they got to run the ball to help their defense out and just to keep Kyler off the field. That should be the game plan going in. And then having Kenny Galladay back will help, too. The deep ball will open up more for the other guys, and the deep ball will probably be there. We'll see, though.
Yeah, another matchup I like a lot, and call me crazy, but Peterson did not look good at all last game. I mean, yeah, he went up against Terry McLaurin, but it came to a point where Arizona, you know, got rid of the shadow and they just had him play aside because Terry McLaurin literally took his lunch money every time. I mean, Terry McLaurin is a hell of a route runner. We don't have that route runner on the Detroit Lions, but he took his lunch money most of that game. Pat Pete does not look the same at all. I mean, they tried lining him up in the slot with McLaurin, lining him up outside with McLaurin. It wasn't working. So it came to a point where Arizona said, screw this. We're just going to Pat Pete stay on your side. Kirkpatrick, you play aside, and Murphy's going to stay in the nickel. It got bad at one point. Arizona won the game, obviously, but it got bad to a point where Arizona looked like they said, screw this. We're not having you shadow anymore because you can't handle Terry McLaurin. So that's something to watch out for this week. You know, will Pat Pete be shadowing, you know, Kenny G or Marvin Jones, or will he just be, you know, covering aside? That's going to be something to watch out for going into week 3.
Yeah, they should target Kirkpatrick a lot. And then also, if Byron Murphy, like when they go two corners, if Byron Murphy is against Kenny or Marvin, I try to exploit that size matchup too.
Yeah, no, Byron Murphy, when he plays on the outside, he thrives way more on the nickel than the outside. So that's a matchup I would definitely target. Another matchup I like a lot is using our speedsters. You know, we got to get the speedsters more involved in this game. Guys like Marvin Hall and Jamal Agnew. Get some like quick slants going against Byron Murphy. Scheme him open. Even TJ Hockenson, you know, I remember saw that one play versus the Bears where he just runs across the field in motion.
Yeah.
Let's get that going with Jamal Agnew and Marvin Hall this week. I think that's a good matchup, especially against, you know, when they play man coverage with Byron Murphy in the nickel.
Yeah, I like that. And then another thing also, I noticed that Monster had a good game against them receiving the ball. So if Detroit could get Swift involved in the pass game, find the little holes in zone
yeah.
and just go.
J.D. McKissick had a pretty good impact in that game as well in the passing game. So, yeah, using, you know, receiving backfield, DeAndre Swift is better than J.D. McKissick. So let's get DeAndre Swift more involved in this game. I think it's a good matchup as well.
And he had a quiet game last week, 5 receptions for 60 yards. So shout out to Swift with the bounce back game. But yeah.
What about you, Malcolm? What matchups do you like to see Detroit attack this game?
I really like the Swift matchup. You said it because J.D. McKissick had a pretty good game, and he has some pretty big runs against that defense. I think the defense, they have some holes that I think we could definitely attack. And the key for Detroit to win this game is definitely, you know, taking advantage of those holes and being able to finish those drives and getting points, because I don't feel too confident about their defense trying to stop Arizona's offense.
Yeah,
you remember like last week, I believe, Detroit and Green Bay each had 2 possessions in the first quarter, was it? Or something like that? I forgot. But each team had like limited possessions. If Detroit could limit possessions and score touchdowns on their possessions, that's how they win this game.
Yeah.
But they got to keep it going through all 4 quarters. They can't like just like second half, they just come out like flat. They got to keep it going.
Yeah. I mean, if Detroit wants to salvage their season, I mean, it's going to have to come from the offense side of the ball. It's going to have to come from the offensive side of the ball, especially in this week, because limiting the possessions of Kyler Murray and that Arizona Cardinals offense is going to be key. So as much time as Detroit could stay on the field, you have a better chance of winning this game in Arizona. And, you know, Detroit's going to have to pull all stops to win this game. It's going to have to be almost a perfect game on offense to win this game, I would say. So it's going to be interesting. But like Malcolm mentioned, there's some flaws on this Arizona Cardinals defense that the Lions can take advantage of. And it's some stuff that they have a strength in, and something to mention that Big V is back in this game. That's big for the running game. And then another one is Kenny Galladay, which the offense the last 2 weeks have looked completely lost without Kenny Galladay. So getting him back is actually huge.
Absolutely.
That's going to be great. I mean, even if he's not making a big impact, him being on the field is going to make a bigger impact for other guys on the field. Guys like Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, TJ Hawkinson, DeAndre Swift, whoever. Just him being on the field, defenses are going to have to worry about him. So if they're worried about him, even if he's not making the hugest impact, his presence is just the impact itself.
Yeah.
So there's some matchups I like in this, you know, this, I like some matchups here for Detroit's offense versus this Arizona Cardinals defense. And we'll just see how they attack it. You know, the quick passing game, I think, is going to be something that's key in this game as well.
Well, how do you guys feel about, you know, Kenny G first game back? Do you think he makes a big impact and has a big game his first game back? Or you think he's going to be eased in and may not have, like, the biggest game? You know,
I think his presence there is just impact enough, honestly. Just his presence, just him being on the field. Number 19 on the field. Defense have to be cautious of that. Just 19 being on the field.
Yeah.
So,
So you do believe this offense will be better?
It should. The play action game should open up more too. They haven't, like, their play action hasn't been as effective as last year. Last year was really effective because they haven't had their deep threat Kenny G. But hopefully now, like with Kenny G there, like defense will shift towards him. Maybe leave Marvin more one on one and leave Dola and Hawk maybe more one on one. Because like you don't really have to double anyone like when Kenny G was out. Marv is good, nothing against him, but he's not Kenny G.
100%. That's what I'm saying. Even if Kenny G doesn't have a big impact, like on TV, we're watching, and like maybe he's not doing much, or on the stat sheet, he's not doing much. I'm telling you, just his presence there is going to open up these other guys for him. Guys like Marvin Jones, like I mentioned. So,
and even the run game.
The red zone helps in the red zone, too. You have another big body in the red zone.
And the play action actually comes more realistic now. So, I think his presence just on the field just makes impact. Even if he gets 0 receptions in this game, just his impact on the field, honestly.
Well, that's hoping he could play. He was limited, but the expectation is he will play, bearing a setback. So, and same with Big V. So,
he's got to play. If when we make our picks, I'm making my picks based on Kenny Galladay being on the field.
Oh, is that a hint?
It might be.
Let's get into that.
All right. Let's do our game predictions / bold predictions. Cue the Fox music, baby. Let's do this.
Yep.
All right, guys. So our record on the game predictions, me and Pierre are currently tied for number 1. We are 1-1 on the season. We both chose the Packers to win the game. And the Green Bay Packers obviously won the game. Malcolm took the Lions to win the game, and they obviously did not win the game. And you guys took the Lions to win the game, so that didn't happen. So, all right. So, yeah, you guys lost this week. So you guys are 0-2 as well. We will post the poll again on Saturday on the Pride Podcast page. If you guys are not following, what are you doing with your life? Go follow the Pride Podcast page on Instagram, and we'll post the poll on our story of the Lions versus the Cardinals. And you it's as simple as just clicking who you think is going to win. It's not very complicated. It's not rocket science. Like Matt Patricia, you don't need his degree. So. since Malcolm is 0-2 and he's last, you get to go first.
All right, man. Let's roll with it. So, Cardinals, you know, high-powered offense, you know, defense, they're in the middle of the pack. Lions, nothing has been going right so far these past two games. Like, it's been bad. Both sides, well, I want to say both sides, but it's been bad. It's like the Lions, they just don't play four quarters. They don't play four quarters at all. Like, they played either last game, you saw they played two quarters. Again, the Bears game, they played three quarters. So, they don't play four quarters. So, everything is against the Lions right now. On that note, I have the Lions win this game.
Don't do it. Oh my lord.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, all right, so realistically, the Cardinals, you know, they have everything to win this game. But I just believe that the Lions just have to, they have to come down with this game. And then that's the reason why I believe that the Lions will win this game. Because this is like a, or am I calling this like a must win game?
This is a must win game.
Am I calling this a must win game for the Lions? They can't go down 0-3. 0-3 is not a good look. It's not a good look to start the season. So I feel like the Lions haven't played their best football. And I think this is the week that they show that, you know, their best football on the field. And they actually come up with a close game. Let's go 27-24 Lions.
Okay. That's high scoring, but I feel like in this game it's low scoring. So
yeah, it could be. See. Alright, so my bold prediction is that Jeff Okuda, whatever you want to call him, Hefe. Yep. Jeff Okuda, I think he bounced back and he has a really solid game. Let's say Jeff Okuda gets a pick. Would that be a
bold? That's bold.
Sure. Comparing what he did last week, I think that's pretty bold. Cool. Yeah. He bounces back. Has a good game. Has a pick. Show people why he's number 3 pick. And everybody kind of calms down.
All right. Okay. How about you, Pierre?
I'm not as optimistic as Malcolm, unfortunately, just because the Lions' run defense is not good. Their pass defense is not good. They have no pass rush. I think Kyler Murray is just going to run over us and pass over. They'll do whatever they want to do on offense. That's personally what I think. However, I do think the Lions will keep up with them, but they won't be able to keep up with them at that pace. I have the score being 38-27 Cardinals. And my bold prediction is the Lions will have 5 sacks. They've had 2 sacks in 2 games. The Cardinals have only gotten 5 sacks. So my bold prediction is the Lions will have 5 sacks.
You know what I would even consider bold because how bad our pass rush has been? 5 pressures is bold for the Lions at this point.
5 pressures would be pretty bold too, yeah.
And you're saying 5 sacks. So.
Yeah, that's bold, bro. Like,
no, yeah, bold. No. That's I'm not taking anything away from you. That's bold. That's bold as hell. All right, so it's my turn. This is going to bite me in the ass. I know this is going to bite me in the ass. So why am I doing this? I said on Twitter, I'm not even fully confident in this, but I'm saying it. The Lions are going to pull something out of their ass this week in Arizona and win this football game. 37-34 in a very close, high-scoring football game. As Pierre likes to allude to them, fireworks. This is going to be a fireworks-type game. I don't know. I feel like just something's going to be pulled out of their ass. I don't know why. I feel like the defense is still going to suck. But I just feel like this offense, man, with Kenny Galladay is going to be a big difference. This is the offense we've been all excited for all offseason, and we haven't really seen it yet. So I'm excited, man. We're going to get to see a Kenny Galladay on this offense again, and that's huge. So this is going to buy me ass. Like I said, I'll take the 37-34 Detroit Lions. My bold prediction, I think that's bold enough that the Lions are going to win this game, but I'll come up with something. A bold prediction. DeAndre Swift, man, he's going to have a pretty big game. I think he's going to have a 100-yard game, and he's going to have 2 touchdowns.
Oh, that's pretty bold.
Yeah, so that was my bold prediction last week.
So I stole it from you. It's happening this week.
It's happening this week, though.
Let's go.
Right. I mean, yeah.
This is a revenge game from last year. From week one, this is revenge. So
this is revenge, yeah.
Let's go Lions, man. This is a good Arizona Cardinals team. Let's beat them.
I don't know. I hate losing. I just don't see it. What would this
if they do, you know, pull out a win, if this does happen, you know, the miracle in Arizona, if this does happen, what does it do to the fan base? Like, do you think this win will bring them back? Do you think, like, the fans will slowly reel themselves back in if we have, like, a pretty solid win this week?
As I said, I think it depends how they win this game. Like, let's say, like, hypothetically, like, Kyler Murray goes out in the first quarter, DeAndre Hopkins goes out in the first quarter. I feel like we're not going to get credit for this one.
No, we won't get
credit. But if this is just a nice played football game by the Detroit Lions and their offense is just firing on all cylinders, even if their defense sucks, but they're just firing on all cylinders and they could pull out a game, I think the fan base slowly buys back in. And that's considering me and Pierre as well, who are pretty much not invested at all at this team right now. So you pull a win against the Arizona Cardinals, who looked very impressive the first 2 weeks. I think it buys some people back in a little bit, you know, slowly but surely. You guys remember in 2018, this was kind of a similar start for the Detroit Lions. You know, they started off 0-2, lost to the Jets, got manhandled by the Jets, and they lost a close game to the 49ers. And they came back, a game that was, that didn't look winnable at all versus the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football, and they pulled it out. So I feel like we might get that type of impact, you know, effect. I mean, maybe a little different because this is year three of Patricia, but I think a similar, you know, effect could happen potentially if they could pull out a game in Arizona.
It's going to be really hard. Like,
it's a big what if, obviously.
If they play man, bro, I mean, this offense is literally designed to destroy man. Crossers, like, they run everything. Everything that beats man, you name it, they run it.
Yeah.
Detroit has to mix it up this week, and they just need to, they got to be disciplined in their gaps. They also have to tackle. They had a lot of missed tackles last week. And they need to pressure the quarterback some way, somehow.
Yeah, I just don't see this defense just fixing overnight in this week, honestly.
No, I don't. No. It's hard. No, it's really hard.
The only reason I'm giving the Lions the benefit of the doubt this week is just I'm excited to see this offense. I'm excited to see this offense.
Their best defense. It's more offense.
I hope they prove me wrong, you know? I hope they prove me wrong. I hate losing, bro. I really do. And if they win this game and stay the game next week, then everyone's back in.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll see. Yeah. It's a big what if, though. A huge what if.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens this week, and then.
Yeah, Detroit just needs to make it to this bye. Minimum at least 1-3. If they make it 2-2, man, I think we could do something.
If they're 0-4, you fire them?
0-4?
At the bye?
I mean, it's a really solid, it's a good case. You can. You honestly can. I don't see why, you know?
I mean, I think it, honestly, it's more realistic the Lions go 1-4 going into the bye than 1-3 or even 2-2, even though I'm picking them this week.
Yeah, I mean, it is more realistic because, I mean, the games are not in our favor right now. We got the Cardinals and then we have the Saints. But if they could pull out at least one of these games, and then when they come back from the bye, you have the Jaguars, you have
the Falcons.
Falcons. You know, Falcons, they're just like us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna be like, you ever seen that Spider-Man picture where he's pointing at each other?
It's like
that's gonna be the Lions and the Falcons, bro. They're gonna be pointing at each other because they're like, oh, it's me, and they're like, oh, it's me. That's gonna be that game because both teams can't figure out how to close out a game.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, somebody has to win.
Yeah, let's just see how we go into the bye before
let's
we
go week
get
by
into
week.
All
yeah,
that.
Let's go week by week. Yeah. So,
but yeah, I think if you told the fan base we are going 1-3. With the first four games going to the season, I think most people would honestly be pretty satisfied.
Yeah, I think most people kind of predicted us to go 1-3. I mean, they even though it's not going the way they planned, because they probably had us beating the Bears, and losing to the Packers, Cardinals, and Saints. But if we could just pull out one of these wins, we're in position to finish off a solid season.
Yeah, it just sucks that we dropped two division games in a row.
We did.
That blows.
See, and they're 0-8 against the last 8 divisional games too, which kind of sucks.
All right, guys, I think that's a wrap. I think that's a wrap. We did a little ramble towards the end, but that's fine. Hope you guys all enjoyed this preview of the Arizona Cardinals. Hopefully this doesn't bite me in the ass. I try to be a little bold, honestly, like, just to change it up, you know, in our predictions. You know, maybe, like, this could be the game where I can maybe take a little stride and take a little, you know, comfortable lead in our prediction. So this is my boldy/ballsy pick. So I'm taking this one game. But on that note, I'm Tyler, and I'm signing out.
All right, guys, I hope they prove me wrong. I just don't see it personally, but I'll always root for this team, and I'm out. Peace.
All right, everybody, you know what to do. Make sure you hit up iTunes, hit up Apple Podcasts, and leave those reviews, you know, rate, leave the reviews, you know. And again, I'm out. It's your boy Malcolm. Peace. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be in a game this year, but you can still be in all the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going an extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to teams, players, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in their season opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.